Well, hello and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. I'm your Wednesday host, Kim Justice, with Recovery Now. Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. And for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. Again, I'm your host, Kim Justice. If you want to know more about me, check out my website, inaflash.org. How quickly your life can change, right? In a flash. Now, there's been a little change. I know a lot of you were expecting Alex Smith to be here tonight. And unfortunately, and we wish him a speedy recovery, late this out he wasn't feeling very well. And then late this afternoon, his temperature went up to 103 degrees. So he's sick, very sick. We're glad that he's not here trying to push through that and get some rest and take care of himself and come back and see us in a couple of weeks. But we're going to go on and talk about some exciting, I would say, well, I will say, pioneer work on concussion. We've added Dr. Wyan, and I'll change the program notes. The program notes will be changed tomorrow to reflect the change in our guests tonight and to give you the websites that Dr. Wyand is going to talk about. So, Dr. Michael Wyand is a biopharmaceutical executive with over 25 years' experience in managing and building successful product and service-oriented life science companies. He is the CEO and director of Oxia Biopharmaceuticals, a clinical stage biotech company developing new innovative therapeutics for mild brain injury, MTBI, known as concussion and related neurometabolic dysfunction. Dr. Wyan trained in comparative pathology at Harvard Medical School, received, excuse me, I'm getting a frog in my throat, received his DVM from Purdue University and his PhD in pathology from the University of Connecticut. And I think I'll stop there and introduce Dr. Wyan. How are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for that nice introduction.
Well,
And it's
I'm
good.
so glad that you could be here tonight.
Yes, I think we hope that Alex gets better, and I was happy to step in for him. I think he'll if he can come on in the future, it'll be exciting to have him on and go through what he was going to talk about. He's actually a very,
Absolutely.
very good spokesman on what concussion does to how it affects athletes and how that has changed over the years. And he can really tell the story about the unmet medical need pretty well. So we love having them involved with Oxy and helping us out.
Yes, I would like to. I have some questions lined up for him too. A lot of the protocol for, in the football are supervised by entities that are paid for by the NFL. So sometimes I wonder, and I kind of wonder how he feels about that, like when the game he had two concussions in, and they sent him back out. But I'll save that. And let's talk about the press release.
He'll go through that story. He'll go through that story, and I think he may have some information to say that athletes are starting to pay more attention to themselves. But most of us don't work in a job where we have two people sitting in the back office ready to take our job if we get sick for a day. And that's what athletes face. They got a stream of players that can come in and take over, and that can definitely affect their position on the companies, on the team. So it's a more difficult position to be injured with concussion than some of the other places. But he can go through all that and give you the personal part of it. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the background of Oxia. Oxia, actually, Dr. Vishal Bansal is one of the founders of Oxia, and he, as a trauma surgeon, was seeing patients that had this injury. And he was trying to think of ways to be able to do things that would better treat those patients and treat patients with, even other more severe forms of traumatic brain injury. He became interested in this concept that's been developed pretty well over the past 10 years. We see the importance of it, and it's the gut-brain axis. It's the
Yes.
relationship between things going on in our GI tract and our brain, and it's pretty amazing when you dig into it, as we have, to start to see some of those relationships. And he was able to see that very early on, and he did research, and he did some model work, and he demonstrated the effects of ghrelin. By the way, I just dropped that name, but we're working with a peptide hormone, naturally occurring peptide hormone, ghrelin, that is active and matches up very well with the things that are going on with a concussion injury. And ghrelin is a neurometabolic hormone, so it's all involved with energy metabolism in the brain and doing a bunch of things that protect the brain in situations where it's facing degenerative type conditions. But Dr. Bansal generated a lot of positive data, and they decided to form Oxia. His data was patented by the University of California, San Diego, and Oxia licensed those patents. And then they began to do the kinds of things that small companies do. They did additional development. And they got to a point where they had identified this ghrelin molecule was discovered in Japan in the late 1990s, 1999, very late. And Daiichi Sankyo, a Japanese pharmaceutical company, started working with it. And they looked at it in some indications that were not neuro indications like we're looking at, but they looked at the first properties of this ghrelin molecule was increase in appetite. So they went down that pathway. And when we approached them before I just at the point that I joined, we approached them to get a license to the data that they had generated on the ghrelin molecule. We were able to close that license, and I joined the company at that point in time. So that allowed us to move forward into clinical trials. They had done an extensive work with the ghrelin molecule for the early studies that would be required. And we completed a phase 2A study at the University of Kansas Medical Center, and we saw a very good responder rate in the treated patients as compared to the patients who were just getting standard of care, which is various forms of physical therapy. So
Yes.
we are now at a point where the next step for us is a very large, I say very large, but it's a 160 patient randomized controlled trial, and we're raising money to do that trial. And we can get into I'll let Vishal speak here in a minute, but we can get into some of the challenges of being a pioneer in an area where there's been very little attempts from the pharmaceutical biotech industry to develop new drugs or new therapeutic indications. And we know that there's not much available out there, especially for concussion injury, except for physical therapy. So we've just opened up a round at a broker-dealer called Start Engine, which really is a very interesting approach because it allows us to not only raise money from what we'd call accredited individuals, accredited investors that have high net worths, but it also allows us to raise money from unaccredited investors. And so we can take much smaller amounts of money when investors come to us to invest. And what I find when I go out and talk to people about the work we're doing in concussion, everybody has had an experience with concussion. They've had it, their children have had it. The stories of my daughter was a junior in high school, and she got a concussion on the soccer field, and she couldn't take her SATs and had a very difficult time completing everything for college applications. It's just heart-wrenching. So there's a lot of people that are outside of the mainstream investment community that are very interested in it. We can tap into those people. I think it's going to be very successful. So we're excited, and we'll be moving forward with our phase two study a little bit later in this year.
Think
So
so too. So what that means to you guys listening out there is if you are interested in contributing to this, getting the funding to get this thing to market, participating in the funding to get this to market, you'll just go to the website and it will be listed in the program notes on the second link that you saw posted. Or if one of you has it right in front of you, we can say it on the air and let everybody know what that site is.
yeah, the site is called Start Engine, Start, START, Engine. And there is a, you'll have in your paperwork, Kim, the actual link that you can click on with the computer. That's a little bit difficult
Yeah.
to spiel out. But if you were to go to the search bar when you got to the Start Engine website and typed in Oxia, OXEIA, that would take you to our campaign page and you'd be able to read about the company there. So that would be a good way to start to look at the information and get exposed to what we're doing.
Great. So just to clarify, you do have that link on your regular Oxia biopharmaceutical.com website.
Yes, we're putting that on. We're in the process of putting that on. I think it'll be in your notes. And luckily, they can get there by just doing a Google search for Start Engine.
Good. I've got them both complete websites on the program notes that will show up tomorrow. Zoom doesn't really have the room for all of those program notes, but the show will be out for replay tomorrow on Spreaker or inaflash.org or iHeart, any number of places. And both sites are written in the program notes. So, and you're right, just about everyone, whether they know it or not, has had experience with a concussion. And when Dr. Bansal and I talk, one of the things I happened to listen to the interview that we did back in 2020, I believe, either 2020 or 2022, because I
I think
talked to both of you.
2022, yeah.
You were 22, okay, then you were 20.
I think he was 22.
Okay. Interesting. We talked about, and it was funny when you said it, Dr. Wyan, because I was listening to Dr. Bunsell's explanation back then, and I said, is that akin to what I'm hearing a lot of lately about quote unquote leaky gut syndrome? And he was surprised I had heard that term, and I was going to joke with him a little tonight. You kind of blew my punchline, but I was going to tell him that I had evolved to the gut-brain axis and have gotten past your generic leaky gut now and into the axis. So I'll let you tell us in just a little bit about how that works, the vagus nerve, and we were talking about stimulating that nerve in the actual work that you've done. But I hope that everyone will check out the website and the funding. We'd like to see this drug get to market. They're really, you know, I think one of the things I said back in 2020 is, it's not your grandma's concussion anymore. It used to be when I was a kid, longer ago than I'd like to say. You know, if somebody, well, for example, I was riding my bicycle down the streets back when you had those high handlebars, you know, and the banana seat, and hit some gravel going down a hill and flew over the handlebars and got what they called at the time a goose egg, my forehead. And, you know, The treatment at that time was to shine a flashlight in your kid's eyes and tell them not to go to sleep or to go to sleep. I'm not sure which one it was. But then, provided you were still there in the morning, it was over with. You had ice bag on the goose egg, and that was the end of it. And as we know now, that's not the end of it, but yet they really haven't come out with any effective therapeutic for the concussion. In 2015, the number one cause for TBI is falls. And I tripped and fell on my own deck, and I was relieved because as I was flying through the air, having had a brain bleed, I was just, God, please don't let my head hit anything. Don't let my head hit anything. And it didn't. And when I landed on my rump and my leg hard, and my head snapped really hard, it snapped back and forth, ba-boom. I was saying to myself, oh, thank God I didn't hit my head. I dodged doing anything that would cause an aneurysm or another bleed. And I was relieved. I went on with what I was doing, which lends itself to you don't, when you've had your quote unquote bell rung, like in the old days, you're not always thinking clearly, even though it might appear that you are. But I started getting headaches, and I didn't even notice that every day, like starting the next day, I was going and getting a couple Advil and popping the Advil and going about my business. And my mom and my husband, within 2 days of each other, or I wouldn't have, it wouldn't have registered with me, said, boy, you're sure having a lot of headaches. And I thought, yeah, I really am. And I had experience. I didn't have any with the brain when I had my bleed, but this was years later and 7 years into radio. And it didn't occur to me that that was really abnormal for me to be getting a headache every day, and taking a couple Advil. And so I did go talk to the hospital about it and told them what happened and my experience. And they told me I had post-concussion syndrome, and we'll send you the bill.
No, I
Really
think
not funny, but that was the treatment, you got post-concussion syndrome.
an uncommon story.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're here actually, is because those people linger on for a long time. And I think that might be a good time to have Vishal jump in. I think Vishal, you've seen this in real life and treated these patients for a long time.
Yeah, I have, and Kim, I'm actually on call right now. Luckily, we're in a nice kind of lull, but just so you know that this is an emergency situation. You never know what could happen. But that being said, your story is what I see just about every day. We have no treatment. We're pretty excited about our drug. We have a nice phase 2A study showing about an 80% reduction in treated patients with post-concussive symptoms. And we're hoping to show real efficacy with our drug and really hope to help treat concussions in the future if everything works as we are anticipating. So startengine.com, Oxia Biopharmaceuticals, or even concussion as a search word, invest in Oxia, and we really want to take this to the next level and hopefully have a treatment for exactly the symptoms that you're referring to and that you suffered.
Thank you for that website on air, because
I just got a question from one of our people who's waiting to be let in. I don't know if you see him out there.
let's see.
He sent me an email. First, if you don't see him, that's okay. I mean, he didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. There's you, there's Dr. Bunsell, there is a young lady, there's Frank.
And there's somebody waiting in the waiting room, I think. He had the link for to get to the Zoom call.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, where's my wait? I thought this is the waiting room. Do you have a first name or what he would show up by? You don't have to give me a whole name.
Kirk.
Like KIRK?
Yep, KRK.
I'm searching that name. Nobody's coming up with that name.
All right, I'll let him know that, but you can carry on with Vishal.
Okay.
So, Kim, just to reiterate what we're saying here, that's really the story that you have is what we're trying to solve, and to have treatment. And unfortunately, the way the current kind of landscape is in terms of therapy, there really isn't any good therapy out there for for concussions and post-concussive symptoms and syndrome. So we're really hoping that we can change this narrative. We're really hoping that with an investment from the community, your listeners, our communities, the traumatic brain injury community, the sports community, families, especially mothers who are concerned about their children that are injured. We're really hoping we can get the funding accordingly.
Yes, I am too. I see the word trauma and surgery behind you. I just want to say we didn't introduce stuff, and I let everybody in, Dr. Michael. So if that person's out there, we'll see him. But Dr. Vishal Bansal is a clinically active trauma and general surgeon, as well as a funded surgical scientist, focusing on the physiologic response to brain injury. He's been a principal investigator of three trials in traumatic brain injury, has nearly 100 peer review publications, book chapters, and invited reviews, sits on three national trauma committees, and is a referee for over 25 national and international scientific journals. He's the chief officer and co-founder of Oxia Biopharmaceuticals. And since 2015, if this is still correct, director of trauma surgery at Scripps Mercy Hospital in San Diego.
That's correct.
So, are you, just out of curiosity, a quick one before you get called off to a trauma? At one time, the big treatment was that somebody rest for a few days. Then it became that you should, the answer to everything seems to be exercise. Out of the traditional medical model, I will say, that seems to be the cure for everything. And so we've gone from you rest and take it easy for a couple days to you get back to exercising and just about everywhere in between. So instead of having a definitive test to be able to say, you have a concussion, we kind of do it. Are we still doing it by symptoms? You have, there's whatever, 10 symptoms. And if you hit 8 out of 10 of those symptoms, you got a concussion. Those numbers are just hypothetical for how there's a lot of diseases we don't have a definitive test for, and just do it by how many of the symptoms that you have. But what do you tell people? I suppose they may or may not be coming to you in a trauma state with a bad concussion. And I wish they'd quit calling it a mild brain injury. You know, when you've had one, it don't feel mild. It can have some really nasty symptoms, you know, not being able to remember. So problems with short-term memory, problems with cognitive functioning. And I don't know if it was what your thoughts are on cumulative brain injuries, whether they're, I won't muddy the water. I'll try to stay in the concussion lane. But like the more concussions you get, that's why I'd really like to see this therapeutic funded and come through. So there's an actual treatment, because it's my belief, with no medical background at all, just interviewing people for 16 years now, every week, that, you know, the more trauma a person has to their head, well, two things have been my observations. One is that those symptoms, also I can add, you know, ataxia, aphasia, you know, not remembering the word, processing slower. Then there's behavioral depression, PTSD, anxiety, mood disorders, sleep issues, a lot of things that go with. And the more concussions you have or brain injuries that you have, it seems like the longer lasting and more of those boxes are checked as far as the symptomology. And then, you know, I'm aging now. And one of the things I'd just like to say to you, since we talked last time, and I'm in my mid-60s now, and my initial brain bleed, I was 35 and the healthiest that I've ever been. 2015, let's see, then I would have been older. 95 was the brain bleed. The concussion was 2015. Now I'm in my mid-60s, and I'm finding I'm not alarmed at a degenerative disease at this moment, but I am noticeably different. Like, I used to be a voracious reader. I mean, I'd sit down and read a book. That was an activity I actually liked to do. And now I can't really do that. I mean, I can sit down and read an article. It's not that I can't read anymore, but I can't sit down and read a whole book the way that I used to. I'll find myself going over the same sentence. Or sometimes when I'm on the computer getting eye weary, I'll start transposing letters. You know, I'll think I know what I'm going to say as I'm typing, and then when I go and proofread, I've put the wrong word there. And so I'm noticing some peculiar things that I would chalk up to, because I've been tested, just aging and repeated brain trauma.
Well, it's possible. You know, we you pretty much nailed everything, Kim, directly. That concussion as an entity is a myriad of different symptoms. I treat this every single day. Just had a patient earlier today that suffered a pretty significant concussion slash mild traumatic brain injury after a motor vehicle accident. And the specific patients having repetitive questioning and all sorts of issues. The definition of a concussion, as you well know, does kind of mingle with the word mild traumatic brain injury, which you're right. Not every concussion is mild traumatic brain injury. And well, let me put it this way. Every concussion is mild traumatic brain injury. Not every mild traumatic brain injury is a concussion. That's probably the best way to put it. That being said, it's the long-term issues that we are really most concerned with at Oxia, because we know that suffering a concussion can lead to all sorts of symptoms that have all sorts of deleterious effects, whether it's your situation with reading, which may or may not be related, but certainly can be, or a 14-year-old who no longer can concentrate in math class, or a 29-year-old who can no longer do the work of a graphic designer because the light of the computer really bothers them. That's the type of symptom that we are targeting with our drug and our clinical trial. If we get the results that we certainly expect, and we show that, in fact, we can really dampen these symptoms, then we're really on our way to having a big impact on helping patients with concussions and future patients with concussions. We really think that we have the potential to be a game changer. We hope that the clinical trial will be successful, and we hope that the exposure and the press coverage that we're getting from people like yourself will lead to those investments through startengine.com and Oxy Biopharmaceuticals to, in fact, complete this trial.
Yes, thank you. Do you want to talk a little bit about the mechanism? We talked about the leaky gut, what I called it. Now we're in the brain gut axis, and it's the vagus nerve, right, that connects the stomach with the brain, goes through the blood-brain barrier. Can you talk about that a little bit? How this drug, because there are a lot of people out there listening that are in different groups. Like there's a concussion and CTE group, a concussion group, obviously, because I do radio, I'm involved in a lot of brain injury support type groups, and there's people out there that are much better versed than I am, have really studied, the condition. How, it doesn't have to be real lengthy, but how this drug works, what the objective is, the path it's taking to bring recovery or mitigate some of the symptoms that go along with concussion.
Sure. Well, it's a fascinating topic. We actually originally we were very interested in that gut-brain connection in the early part of the research that I was conducting at UCSD. And what we found is that vagus nerve, when stimulated, can really improve the actual gut that happens in severe traumatic brain injury. After severe traumatic brain injury, the intestines, in mice models and also in some human data, really do become leaky and inflamed and blunted and changes quite dramatically. So the vagus nerve is that interaction between the brain and the gut. And when you actually stimulate the vagus nerve, it does an incredible amount of work to the actual gut itself, changing the gut back to what looks like a healthy state. I was very curious what the hormone response would be. And the more we read, the more we found that the hormone ghrelin was a link in this pathway between the vagus nerve, the brain, and the intestines. So we basically substituted the vagus nerve for what we thought one of the endpoint chemicals would be, and that was, in fact, ghrelin. And that's when we had our aha moment, because when we did the opposite and we actually injured the brain, we found ghrelin to have incredible effects on the brain, really in a severe traumatic brain injury model, preventing inflammation, preventing cell death. Improving brain edema, preventing brain tissue loss, and probably most interestingly enough, the mice that were injured after an injury, they couldn't walk across a balance beam. After Graylin therapy, they shot across the balance beam as they would if they weren't injured. And those were the studies that really gave us the moment, wait, we're really onto something here. And then the more we studied this, the more we realized that the hormone, just like any other hormone, has multiple effects. But one of the effects it has is the health of the overall metabolic process of the brain. And that's what then gave us the idea this will be very effective in concussion. Going back to what you were asking originally, you know, a concussion, when I was a kid, I remember people would say, oh, a concussion is a bruise on the brain, not really knowing what the weight of that meant. Well, it's not a bruise on the brain at all. A concussion is actually a shake of the brain, a metabolic disturbance of the brain. That's why when you're watching a football game on a Sunday and you see a player go down with a concussion, they have these weird contorting effects of their hands and their legs and almost look as if their body is depolarizing. And it, in fact, it is. So we are targeting that metabolic aspect of the brain to improve the homeostasis and the healthy brain and bring that brain back to a pre-injury state from a metabolic standpoint. Let me say one more thing, if you don't mind, Kim. And
Please.
everyone in the world is talking about GLP-1 agonists. Interestingly
Yes.
enough, we are basically leveraging the same concept, except for instead of a GLP agonist, we are using ghrelin. That is the hormone that is using the power and leveraging the power of that hormone for brain health. And that really is the same kind of paradigm. And like I said again, we think that this treatment has some pretty incredible effects on post-concussive symptoms. And again, we hope to hopefully reverse those symptoms in both future studies and when we get approved in the patients at large in the country and effectively the world.
Yeah, and Kim, let me get back to something you said earlier to build on what Vishal just said. It'll give you, the listeners, a good sense about our trial design and what we're trying to do. You talked about riding the bike, falling down, getting the golf ball on your forehead, and then when you went to sleep, people want to. Well, my experience was the idea was you would wake someone up every hour or two after they had a hit on the head.
Yes.
Wake them up all night long. You'd ask them, "What's your name? What month is it? How old are you?" And if they answered those three questions, you said, "Okay, you can go back to sleep now. We'll wake up in another couple hours." And in the morning, if they woke up and they weren't any worse than they were when they went to bed, it was kind of doing what a CT scan does now in the emergency room. It's showing that you are very unlikely to have a brain bleed, and that's the good news. So we're not going to have a serious crash. We just have to rest and get over our injury. And that's describes the acute injury. And then you also talked about yourself feeling having symptoms that persisted and went on later. So we have looked at these different stages of concussion, and what we decided to do, and designing clinical trials is like solving a problem in any other type of work that anyone does. You have to look at a bunch of information and come up with a solution, and sometimes that solution might be expanded as you get in further and further into a problem. So what we decided to do was we decided to treat people 5 to 7 days, 3 to 5 days after their injury, and treat them, those people that have persistent symptoms. And what we're trying to do is treat those symptoms so they do not develop post-concussion syndrome. And hopefully, if we effectively treat them, not only will they not develop post-concussion symptom, but hopefully, and this is just hopefully, we need to find that out from trials, we would prevent people like you from having long-term, months to years effects of some part of that injury affecting cognition or some other thing that they're having trouble with. So we are focused in this first set of studies on the persistently symptomatic patient, that their symptoms haven't gone away the next day or the day after, the third day after that. And there's a lot of those people are struggling. What do I do? Where do I go? And in our first trial that we ran, it took people an average of 23 days to go to a post-concussion clinic. So they sat at home. They might have gone and seen their family practitioner, but they've sat at home. without really getting a good guidance from anybody what to do, but being, very much affected by their symptoms. So the trial that we ran, we saw an 85% responder rate in the treatment group and a 33% responder rate in the what was the standard of care that the post-concussion clinic would give you. And so that gives us the information we need to design the next trial that will be a much larger trial. And again, we'll focus on that persistently symptomatic patient population. Now, people often ask us, well, if you've treated the patients that are going to be persistently symptomatic, and hopefully if you've gotten rid of post-concussion syndrome, and if hopefully you've gotten rid of people that have long-term effects, and we know that that's not going to happen in all the cases, and we have to prove that. But if you've done all that, then why aren't you doing anything about the acute concussion? Because if those folks are going to be miserable for 3 or 4 days, why wouldn't they take a treatment? And that is a direction that we are going to head once we move. The first part of the solution was persistently symptomatic. And then the next thing we gravitate towards is the acute injury. And one of the things about clinical trial design that you can imagine from the acute injury, if you have an injury like the first concussive injury, within 12 hours or 24 hours, if someone wakes up the next morning and they feel pretty good, and the next day they almost feel normal, that's a difficult patient population to do a clinical trial in because you've got people that are getting better spontaneously. And you're trying to see an effect of the drug treatment. So you need very large numbers of people to do that trial. And it's the numbers would tell us that about somewhere between 3/4 and 80% of people that get a diagnosed concussion will be fairly symptom-free and feel pretty good by, day 5 to 7. And so that 20 to 30% of people that remain symptomatic, that's our first study. But we are going to be moving and designing trials that go to treat the acute injury. There's no sense, I don't can't think of any condition you would have, a severe cough, a laceration on your forearm, a broken leg, where you would say, well, gee, why don't I wait a week and see how this goes before I seek medical care? It just doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense to let a concussive injury go on like that either. So we're going to be moving towards the acute concussion. We call that in drug development, we call that label expansion. We're expanding the label to tell doctors different patient populations that they can use the drug in. So that's part of our whole approach to the clinical trial design.
So part of it is just getting it out there with an initial premise that you pretty much have proven, and going through the bureaucracy of the trials and then expanding, being able after it's approved initially to expand the usage.
Yeah, and I've been doing this for, you said over 25 years, which was very
Long
charitable.
time.
It's been probably over 30 years, but I've always been very impressed by the systems that have been developed to provide us with safe and effective drugs. And I think one of the problems that's going on today is that we tend to take all that for granted. We're vaccinated. When I was a little kid, I got chicken pox, I got measles. I was constantly taking penicillin for infections.
Me
And
too.
smallpox has been eradicated by vaccination. I mean, we have now hips and all kinds of things. So I'm not quite as negative on the length of time or the trials it takes to do these things, because I do think we really want the answers. We want to be safe. We want to be effective. But I think today the situation that people find themselves in, and we have a testimonial on our website and on our campaign page if people go to Start Engine. Lady went down to Florida to look at some property. She was thinking about buying a house in Florida. She came back with the real estate agent, tripped on the cement, fell face first into the desk of the real estate agent, and flipped off, and then fell on the back of her head and knocked herself unconscious.
Oh my God.
Her husband had stayed home in Virginia, was going to let her go down and do the first trip. They brought her to the emergency room. By the time she got a chance to call him, she came down. They told her they didn't want her to fly for 10 days. So she had to go and find a hotel and stay in the hotel. They came back to Virginia. She was scared. She'd been injured. She wasn't quite sure. No one really gave her a clear treatment path of what to do. It was, go home and rest and see how you feel. So she went back to Virginia. She went to a post-concussion clinic, and the doctor said to her, "Do you have squirrels in your backyard?" And she said, "Yeah, I got squirrels in my backyard." She said, "What I want you to do is sit in front of the window in a chair, pick out a single squirrel, and watch that squirrel. Never take your eyes off the squirrel." And what that was essentially a form of visual tracking, which that can be a problem with concussions. It can affect your vision and can affect your stability, your balance, those things. And those types of tracking exercises are valuable. But that's this. It's kind of an example of the state of the art today, and we just have to get beyond that. And I think that's what we're trying to do is get something that, not to say that physical therapies won't be useful to treat patients with concussion, but I think that the ghrelin molecule with the attributes that Vishal talked about, and he didn't mention one of them, which is the most exciting attribute to me of the ghrelin drug, is that it causes an outgrowth of the axonal, which are the wiring connections between the neurons in our brain. And so you can almost reestablish pathways in the brain, whether they're memory pathways or other types of pathways. And I think that's tremendously exciting because now you've got a chance for the brain to almost repair itself, which we don't know a lot of things that can do that.
That's a good point, Michael. And one of the things that I wanted to reiterate that we are using the magic of our biology. And that's what's so great about this drug. It's a naturally occurring hormone. We are leveraging it at a pharmaceutical grade concentration to do what we think the body is always supposed to do to some extent, and that is, and I have a grand rounds in this years ago where I said, heal thyself. And we have talked to several professional athletes, including Alex Smith, who unfortunately has the flu, as Michael said, and is not able to join us, but so many of these professional athletes say all the time, I didn't eat before a game. And I didn't eat the entire day because what happens when you're hungry, your levels of ghrelin go through the roof naturally. And your ability to concentrate, your ability for memory, spatial organization, quick thinking, neurocognition is heightened. Now, we can't prove that secondary to the fact that the athletes weren't eating, but boy, oh boy, it sure does make a lot of logical sense. And that's exactly what we're leveraging. And if you think about our biology as human beings, we weren't eating for days when we were hunter and gatherers. So we had to be hungry. And when you're hungry, your brain is working at its sharpest. You know where food is. You find that woolly mammoth. You find that patch of berry. You hunt it. You eat it and you know exactly where to go back for it. And that's what we're doing. We're leveraging these properties of the brain and the hormones that affect the brain to therefore cure the brain, or I should say, instead of curing the brain, decreasing symptoms of brain after an injury like a concussion. And really that's I think the magic of what we're doing. And that's why our clinical trial originally showed a pretty significant impressive reduction that we want to then show in a larger clinical trial, hence our fundraise and hence our crowdfunding platform. We're very close. Just need a little bit of the money to go our way and a clinical trial that can show that this is going to be as effective as we think it is. And at that point, we really think we have a really effective treatment if everything goes the way we think it will.
So everybody always wants to hear that 1,000 mile an hour after have there been some side effects worth noting?
Yeah, yes, and a good drug should have some side effects because that's
Of
when you know
course,
it has
they
some
all do.
biologic function. But the great thing is because it's a natural hormone, and because it's been well studied, and we have hundreds of patients that had this drug at some capacity or another, the biggest side effects that we see are flushing, where you kind of get this heat sensation that comes over your body, some abdominal cramping because unlike a GLP agonist, ghrelin is almost the opposite. It causes intestinal peristalsis and gastric peristalsis and gastric movement. After all, when you're hungry, you want your intestines to move. And so some patients do report some cramping, but most patients really have tolerated it. And every patient that has had that has been protocolized to the therapy were more than happy to attempt it given the symptoms that they were having.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
I would say, Michelle, most patients describe that abdominal motion as gurgling. That's kind of the way they do it because most of them are fairly mildly affected. And it stimulates appetite. In our trials, we treat for 14 days. The Daiichi Pharmaceutical Company that did a lot of the early development did 9 clinical trials.
Wow.
With subcutaneous administration and intravenous administration, four phase one trials, which the phase one trials are the safety trials for safety in healthy volunteers. They did four phase two trials, the stage that we're at, where you're proving the effect size of the drug to use that to design the definitive trials, and they did one phase three trial. So there's a tremendous safety database. And what they saw was that, as we know, the biology of the drug causes weight gain. Or appetite increase that could lead to weight gain. People often ask me, well, will I gain weight on the study? And in the Daiichi studies, they treated patients out to 84 days in some of their trials, and they would start to see in patients a 2 to 3 pound weight gain if they were treated, in 3 to 4 weeks of treatment and beyond. So it wasn't that significant. And those are the types of, so I would say they use the term safe and well tolerated to describe something like ghrelin molecule.
Yeah, I was going to say, compared to some of the things we hear today on TV, it went from benign things like what you just mentioned as being possible side effects, to some things that are pretty severe. I know there's a arthritis drug, and at the end of it, they say, like lymphoma, da, 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 da. I mean, there's like 20 things, they rip off. So that sounds pretty mild to me in exchange for the relief from the concussion symptoms, because those really do interfere with quality of life. And I'm glad to know that there's a therapeutic. So when this is funded and you fill the phase two trial, what comes next before this drug is released?
So what typically happens is that you do safety studies, and lots of times those are done in healthy volunteers. And then you do these phase two studies where you're solving the problem by looking at maybe more than one phase two trial, and you're seeing how the drug behaves and what the best patient population is, and answer all those types of questions. And then you take that information and you design your definitive study, which is called a phase three study. That's the study that the results you're going to show to the FDA and ask them to approve it. And the standard approach is to run two phase three studies that do the same thing. So you replicate your results in a second phase three study. We now have some alternatives that have been around for a while, and the current FDA is talking about other alternatives, but those alternatives include what we are going to do for our development program. If we run the next trial with the endpoint, we're going to have a meeting with the FDA. We're going to do some work on our endpoint with there are some guidance documents from the FDA that tell us how to assess. The endpoint for concussion, as we've kind of talked about, are symptoms in the cognitive area, the
Yeah.
emotional area, and the physical area. And the tool that we use is very commonly used. It's used as a part of a tool called IMPACT. It's a 22 symptom scale. And our first exercise we're going to do is work with a former person who was at the FDA for 25 years. Her name is Lori Burke, and she wrote the guidance documents to examine these types of endpoints. And we're going to work with her to look at our endpoint and see if we should make any changes, whether all the symptoms are highly specific for concussion and whether the patients interpret them that way. And then we'll have a meeting with the FDA and we'll design that into our phase, what we're going to call a phase 2B trial. And there's a 2A and a 2B trial. When we run that trial, if we get statistically significant results, then we have a chance to say to the FDA, this is the design, this is the endpoint. We want you to consider this the first pivotal trial. And there now are movements afoot with the FDA, and they've actually always been there. I just talked to another biotech CEO who would use this approach. But there are a number of drugs that can be approved with a single phase three trial. So if everything lines up really, really well, then potentially this phase 2B trial could take us a lot further down the line than one might expect. But we can't tell that obviously until we've run the trial. So our trial results from this phase 2B trial will be available about 18 months after we start the trial in August or September of 2026. And so you can add a year onto that, 27 almost to 28. And if we could get it approved with a single trial, that might be at that point. Otherwise, we're going to be running a second trial in par, right after that occurs.
Well, I
It's going to
wouldn't be surprised with the information you got from Japan if that doesn't happen. I felt not I alone, but doing this, another, and it was a device for ataxia. It wasn't for concussion, but we got the clinical trial. I think they needed 160 in it, and we got the trial. And there were some qualifiers, like I couldn't be in it because I had been unconscious for a period of time. So there were probably five or six different things that knocked you out of the trial, but we were able to fill it with listeners within one quarter. So people were, people are excited about seeing therapeutics that will help them because they live with these, these are, here's one for Alex. These are game changers, for
You got that
those of
right.
us, yeah, we punt because, and I hope you, Dr. Bichow, are doing, and this is just momentarily off topic, but I hope that you're doing CAT scans when people come in, with that bolt of lightning going through their head. One thing, and this is again off topic for a second, but you're a trauma surgeon, so I just want to mention it because, again, my ruptured aneurysm was in 95, and I hear stories today. March was Brain Aneurysm Awareness Month, so I had a couple panel shows, people that are only a year or two out, and they came in, and even I was able to say, in that moment, I was able to say who the president was and what my birthday was, but I was almost dead 24 hours later. They sent me home and said I was having a muscle spasm in my neck. So I really hope it discourages me to see the kind of thing that, what happened to me in 95, that it's going on in 2025. People are walking in and they're not, some people are saying the worst headache they've ever had in their life, but as I frame it, I've had some bad headaches and it ain't nothing like that. It's the worst pain I have ever felt in my head in my life. I hope that they're erring on the side of precaution, and it's a billable, for God's sake, to
Well,
do the
Kim,
CAT scan to be sure.
Sorry to interrupt. I think you bring up a really interesting point from a emergency perspective, both as a trauma surgeon and the emergency department. We have a pretty low threshold in 2025. Oh, I guess we're in 2026 now. We have a pretty low threshold to perform a CAT scan on patients. And your listeners and you might be familiar with a specific specialty study called a CT angiogram, which is very specifically looking at the blood vessels of the brain, looking for things like aneurysms or arterial venous malformations. So we have advanced a great deal since when you had your terrible aneurysm many years ago. And you know, we think that we can prevent this from happening again and prevent it from happening for other patients in the future. I will say that concussions in general are probably underimaged. And the reason they're underimaged because we think the majority of patients that undergo a diagnosis of a concussion have it well after their actual injury. So you
Agreed.
got your bell rung riding your bike, right?
Yeah.
A linebacker hits a running back at a high G force. The running back gets his bell rung. You know, the 72-year-old grandmother falls, gets her bell rung, has symptoms, but never really seeks medical attention until several weeks later.
Yeah.
And that's what we're hoping to, one, by doing these studies to increase the knowledge base. So people and your listeners are obviously knowledgeable, but more people are become knowledgeable. Because if we are showing success in our clinical trial, what we are hoping to do is be able to capture those patients earlier to offer treatment if in fact our treatment is successful, which we think it is. So, you know, your stories are really important. Your listenership is really important. The awareness is really important, and the investment in what we're doing is really important because we think that we really can change things here if we show the results that we're hoping to show.
Yes, and I'm really happy that you're doing it. And you know, it was funny because when I asked you how long it would take in 2020, you said it could take about 5 years. And I got the call from Frank, and here we are. You know, that you pretty much nailed that.
Well,
So
we've been, you know, with the team that we have, with Michael's leadership, with the great drug, because, you know, I don't want to discount the fact that we've got a great molecule, and that's really, you know, it's because of the great molecule that we're able to achieve what we've achieved.
yes.
We've been able to hit every single check mark. So we are going to hit this next check mark. We are going to get the funding for this clinical trial, to be able to do it. If your viewership can help us raise that money, then we're going to get there faster.
Yes. I hope that's the case. Any final comment from either of you? It was nice of you to come, Dr. Weiland, tonight and step in.
No, I appreciate being able to join. I think it's something that we've been very passionate about. We're very excited to open up the crowdfunding round and bring the capital in that can make all this happen as fast as we can make it happen. So I think we're really excited. The beginning of 2026 looks very good and very rosy for us.
And Kim, we hope to return at some point. Hopefully Alex can join, but if he can't for whatever reason, and when we return, we hope to tell you that you were part of the genesis for us to do this work. And you know, we certainly hope that our next conversation will be that of really positive clinical news when we do our trial.
Thank you, and I'm excited about that on that clinical trial I was just talking about. I got that phone call when the device came out, and it was rather than an Alex, Montel Williams was part of the clinical trial on this device that they put on their tongue, and they got a shock when they were doing PT. It helped with ataxia balance, and they were able to call me when that came to market, you know, and that was the one we got the clinical trial filled in less than a quarter. And then, it took like a year, so I hadn't thought about it. But I did talk to them about Montel coming on my show, and they said the person in Frank's position said, "Oh, that'll never happen." And I said, "Well, how badly do you think they want, you know what I'm saying?" So anyway, they told me that Montel would give me 5 minutes, and he came and was on for a half hour because people get excited about this, because they're looking for the help. In his case, it was from his MS that he had balance issues. And so, whatever ails you or the fear of what can come down the road, what it morphs into if you're not treated, is a reason that people would really like to see a therapeutic available. And so, yeah, I hope that that happens too, and that it gets released in the third, after the third phase.
Well, thank you very much, Kim, for your time. We really appreciate it, and we will keep you. You're a friend of Oxy at this point. We're going to keep you in the loop, and please do whatever you can to help us with this endeavor.
Will do. Will do. Good to see you again, and I
Likewise,
will,
really nice to see you.
you'll be getting a copy in the morning from Frank when I redo the notes that are there now to reflect what happened, and the sites are all there. The sites are all there. So that's for the audience too. If you came in late, when you see this link, any of the 45 or so places it was posted, after we're off of here tonight, give it till the wee hours of the morning. And then the second link, the Spreaker link, will be activated, and it has an at length show description talking about both the doctors will take Alex off of it. The websites are there. The contribution website is there. Everything is there that you need, and that show you'll be able to play back in that place, or you can go to my website in a flash.org, and it's got all of the shows, and this one will be the one at the top till next week, and you'll have all the information you need. Plus, a lot of you know how to get a hold of me on Facebook or otherwise. So if there's anything that you missed, and I did put in the chat room here on this show for those of you that were in the chat room, who our guests are tonight and the website. So, oh yeah, thank you, Frank. Startengine.com and search for Oxia, OXEIA.
And then also your listeners, when they go to Start Engine, they can type in the word concussion, and we are the only company that will pop up.
Great. Great. Well, all of that is written down in the program notes. Don't panic if you, hopefully you just heard it and have a pen in your hand, but if you don't panic. It's all written down for you. And the show will be out there evermore when we wind it up tonight, starting 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'll make sure to resend that to you, Frank. The information is still right, but I'll send you the updated version, and he'll get it out to you, Dr. Michael and Dr. Vishal.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim. It's great talking to you again. Appreciate
Great. Enjoy the weather. I
it.
guess you're going to enjoy it a little bit more, Vishal.
I suppose so. Thank you very much.
Tell the
Okay.
Marines hello for me.
All
You got it.
righty.
All
Will do.
right. Thank you, guys,
Bye-bye.
and God bless. Good night, everybody. Thank you for being here. I will be back next Wednesday. So have a great week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.